Bore da, Penrallt. Good morning, Penrallt Church. My name is Sian Rees and I am the director of the Evangelical Alliance here in Wales. Thank you for the privilege, the real honour of opening God's word with you and for you this morning. So it's the second Sunday in Advent. The fairy lights are busy twinkling. Carols fill the airwaves. Our bank balances will soon start to groan under the weight of some extra shopping. It all seems so familiar. And yet somehow this year, everything is so different. Even the most ardent fans of Christmas, like myself, have been left wondering if this year's celebrations are likely to be a little less joy to the world and a little more in the bleak midwinter. The truth is, turkeys, lights, Christmas films, chocolates, even presents could never replicate the joy of knowing that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. They were never meant to. Some of you will be familiar with the Welsh song which says Tinsel ar y goeden, seren yn y nen, a dolly fach yn eistedd mor ddel ar frig y pren. Ai hyn yw'r Nadolig? Pwy a wyr? A Christ-centred Christmas offers so many better reasons to celebrate than any of the commercialism of the day. The question is, how on earth does a weary world rejoice amidst a global pandemic, loss, suffering, economic hardship and uncertainty? 2020 has been such a dark and challenging year for so many. Kids have found it difficult not being at school and able to learn with their friends. Parents have had to juggle homeschooling with working from home. And others still haven't been able to travel to see family and friends. Worse still, of course, there are people who have truly suffered, whether that's through ill health, isolation, loneliness, fear or grief. People are exhausted, anxious, burnt out, fearful even. But Advent is a season bursting with hope, bursting with promise. It was during a dark time for the people of Israel that the prophet Isaiah prophesied, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Jesus wasn't just born to eliminate the darkness of the people at the time. He was born to defeat the one who brought darkness into the earth in the first place. And so Jesus isn't just the hope of people born in Bible times. He is the hope of all generations. So today, whatever our situation, whatever the darkness we find ourselves in, the beautiful message of Advent and Christmas is that there is light in the darkness. How shocking that the answer to the darkness of this world would come in the form of a baby boy born in a dirty cattle shed. How shocking that this same baby boy would continue to bring light and hope to billions of lives 2,000 years later. Love has a name, and his name is Jesus. For all of us, this year has been bewildering and often very uncertain. For many of us, it has felt like certain things we used to know have just been taken away, and we've been left with a hiraeth for a way of life that perhaps no longer even exists. But Advent and the lighting of our Advent candles remind us that light is synonymous with Christ coming to earth, that light does shine in the darkness, but the darkness cannot overcome it. Try to imagine for yourselves the excitement and anticipation that the people of Israel would have felt in their time of darkness upon hearing the words of the prophet Isaiah. Here they are. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. From that time and forever. A saviour was coming who would save us from the power of the enemy and from the power and penalty of our sin, if only we would repent of our sins. As the words of the carol say, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The birth of this child would change the course of human history and the eternal destination of many. Time itself is separated into BC and AD. Such is the significance of this baby's birth. Love has come to earth just as the prophet Isaiah promised. But if we think simply of Jesus as being the baby boy born in a cattle shed, we're in great danger of forgetting his divinity. That's what's happened to the world around us, isn't it? They've forgotten or failed to acknowledge that the baby in the manger is actually God incarnate. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, fully human and yet fully divine. Jesus coming to earth in human form is the only thing that makes sense of this world that we live in. As the author C.S. Lewis puts it, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. You see, hardly anything grows to its full potential when kept in the darkness. John chapter 10, verse 10 reminds us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus says, have come that they may have life and have it to the full. There are so many things that darkness tries to steal from us. The enemy tries to steal our joy, our peace, our health, our soundness of mind, our relationships. And yet, there are so many things that he simply cannot take away from us. The key thing being the love of the Father, that lavish love that God has poured out on us, that we should be called children of God. This love is unshakable, immovable, steadfast, consistent, fiercely protective, and without condition. So let's circle back to the prophet Isaiah and listen to how he puts things in chapter 54, verse 10. He says this, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. God's love for us remains steadfast, even in the darkest of days, even in the midst of pain, hopelessness, anguish, and despair. Fast forward then to the book of Romans, and the Apostle Paul puts things like this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 38. I am convinced, he says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amazing. But what is God's purpose in loving us so lavishly? What was God's purpose in sending Jesus to earth in human form? The baby born in a dirty cattle shed was, the carol says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Jesus was born to restore the relationship between God and mankind that had been broken by sin. Sin? What's that? Well, it's a biblical word for messing up. Neither you or I have to search too deeply into our hearts to know that we have the propensity to mess up, to do wrong, to be selfish, and to hurt other people. But the Bible absolutely nails this by saying in Romans 3, verse 23, that we have all sinned, all of us, and all of us fall short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We're all broken in some way. And if we're honest, our mess-ups merit punishment. However, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God raised Christ from the dead, we will be saved. For all who call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. This second birth that we sing of in the carol is talking about not just a second chance, but a whole life transformation. It means that all of our sin is dealt with. Jesus cleans up our lives and we literally get to start afresh, free from all of the wrongdoings of the past. Forgiven. Jesus coming to earth was God's rescue plan for humanity. Jesus came to restore our relationship with the Father. He is the one who Colossians 1 verse 13 tells us has rescued us from the kingdom of dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. But Advent isn't just about the birth of Jesus. It's also about his second coming. You see, for every mention of his first coming in the New Testament, there are 8 mentions of his second coming. And the early Christians lived their lives in the light of eternity, fully expectant that Jesus would return soon. Now, we're not so great at doing that, are we? I've deliberately come into this room this morning to record this preach. I don't know, I'm sure you've noticed the multiple cardboard boxes behind me and the empty bookshelves on this side. I am currently in a season of waiting on surveys to be completed, waiting for solicitors to act, waiting to move house. I check my phone multiple times a day to see what the latest development is. But how much greater should my sense of anticipation and excitement be at the prospect of Jesus' return? In verse 26 of Mark chapter 13, we are told that at that time men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Now, at that time refers to a time after the distresses of the present age, distresses which, if you need to read them, are detailed for us in Mark chapter 13 until that point. It's really important to acknowledge that Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man in this passage. The Son of Man, who Mark had already told us in chapter 10, had not come to earth to be served, but to serve. The same Son of Man who Mark told us in chapter 8 would have to suffer, die, and after 3 days, rise again. Mark tells us that the Son of Man will come in clouds with great power and glory. Glory being a characteristic of God himself. Jesus' glorious return will be a further indication of his deity. That Jesus will come again is one of the foundational truths of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We don't know when he will return, but we can be sure that he is coming. Again, Mark tells us about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You don't know what time he will come. Make no mistake, Jesus will return and he will do so visibly. Everyone will know, and his return will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Again, it was Isaiah who prophesied this. Have a listen to Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 to 19. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. What amazing news. But what difference does this make to our lives today? And how might we live from day to day in the light of all of this truth? I've already given us the answer from Scripture. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. In other words, we need to make sure that we have made peace with God. We need to make sure that we are in right relationship with him. So let me ask you a really direct question this morning. Have you made your peace with God? Have you received his forgiveness? It's there for you today. The reality is, we can enjoy the love of our Father coming into our lives every single day. One of my favourite names for Jesus is Emmanuel, and that name was revealed to Joseph by an angel of the Lord as it was explained to him that Mary, whom he had not yet married, would give birth to a son who would save the people from their sins. The angel said to Joseph, and this is Matthew chapter 1 verse 23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That Jesus is Emmanuel is an eternal promise. It's part of the manifestation of God's love for us. Just think of the words in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, where Jesus declares, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now there's love for you. We can enjoy the company and the fellowship of Jesus all day, every day, even when life is at its darkest. As the carol says, in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. We can enjoy Jesus coming into our homes, our workplaces, the mundane aspects of our lives, as well as the brilliant times. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus then declares, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus has placed such hope, such potential in each one of us. But the question is, how might you and I bring the love of Christ and his light into this dark world this Christmas? What does that look like practically for you and for me? At the beginning of Advent 2020, as we prepare to celebrate both the birth of Jesus and his second coming, let's not be afraid to acknowledge the dark world in which we live. Let's thank God that his arrival as a baby means that love itself has come to earth, and he is with us today. Let's thank him that his life, his death, his resurrection mean that darkness is defeated and we can know light and life today and forever. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.